Hi, my name is Jenny Donnelly, and this is Shauna Danberg, and you've joined the Don't Mess With Our Kids podcast. We're so excited you're here. There are women, grandmas, young and old, and papa bears all over the country and the world that are saying enough is enough because the attack on our kids has gone way too far. We know that you are hearing what is going on with our children, and we are very concerned. And after you hear our guest today, you are going to want to lean in to how you can be a part of the solution. One of the ways that you can be a part of this grassroots movement called Don't Mess With Our Kids is to simply share this podcast with somebody, because somebody out there needs to know what's going on and how they can be a part of the solution. We also want to invite you to stand in your capital, your state capital, on April 13th. And yes, this is happening all across the country, all 50 states, including our nation's capital. So 51 locations, Shauna. This is super exciting on one single day. We're going to pray. Yes, we're going to ask you to fast going into this, but we're also going to take communion together. We're going to really come before God and ask Him to heal our great nation, heal our state. And then we're going to talk about reformation strategies. So this is super exciting, but that's not all, because we're calling 1 million women and their families to pray, fast, and stand with us in our nation's capital on October 12th, 2024. Now, how this is going to work is we know that 1 million women and their families are going to be called in one day to be praying. Some of those women, we don't know how many, will be standing on the lawn in DC. And then we know that hundreds of thousands of homes, if not millions, will open their home that day to their community and to their families, and they'll build a prayer altar in their home. So I want you just imagine this, that homes all over the world and a remnant of people standing there on the lawn in DC are going to be crying out to God. October 12th is the Day of Atonement. It is the highest holy day on the Hebrew calendar. It's for the purification of a nation. And so we know that 10/12 is a very, very important day for our nation. And so we're asking you to either be standing with us in October 2024 on October 12th, or open your home. That's what we want you to do, is open your home to your family, and you can patch in virtually that day. And I believe that we're going to see our nation shift. I believe it with everything in me. There's a lot of hope. Even though there's a lot of crisis, there's a lot of hope. So thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is a dear friend of mine. She's become a dear friend of mine, and I have so much respect for her. Her name is Leanne Goff, and Leanne is the founder and president of Leanne Goff Ministries. Leanne Goff Ministries hosts various conferences throughout the world and also leads countless ministry teams to the nation. She's been all over the place. One of Leanne's greatest passions is to equip and empower God's people to fulfill their purpose and destiny on planet Earth. Leanne holds several titles, but more than anything else, Leanne's desire to be known as a little girl with a big daddy. And I love that, because that is absolutely the truth, is that we are kids who have a dad who loves us and who is already reigning as victorious over us in our lives. And so let's bring Leanne onto the show today. Thank you, Leanne, for joining us. I'm so excited about having you. I'm going to tell everybody a little bit how we met. We were at a conference together at the HIM conference last April, and you and I were both in the room when Lou Engle got up there and announced that the women need to go to Washington, D.C. now, because this was the last stand for America. And that room was really electric that day, because everybody in that room got the message from heaven, like, we're going now. We can't wait. We can't hold back, because America is in trouble. And I think people are starting to understand that, especially the people that are following this podcast and following this movement. But you and I got a chance to talk about why this call to action for America was so incredibly important to you, because you have been in so many other nations. You've gotten a taste of what it looks like to not have the freedoms that we as Americans have. And you and I had an amazing conversation. God called you really across the line and said, you know, Leanne, I know that I've given you these other nations to care about and to love on, but your own nation is suffering. Your own nation needs you right now. And that was a big deal, because one of the nations that you have just poured your life out for is the nation of Cuba. And so I've learned a ton from you since that day in April that we were both in that same room. But I've learned that you see America through a lens that maybe some of us don't have. I certainly don't have, because I've never been involved in a communist nation. And so spending so much time in Cuba, you have a lot to say about where America is headed. So I just want to thank you for being on here. I'd like you to start by just sharing just a little bit about yourself. I know that you have an incredible family and you've been to all these nations, but just tell us a little bit more about yourself, Leanne.
Well, Ginny, thank you for having me on here today. It's a real honor and pleasure. And I'm thankful God did cross our paths last April. It's been a journey for sure. I know for you, it's been a massive journey. I have been to 34, 35 nations. And most of those nations are nations people generally won't like, hey, let me go to this and have a vacation. Nations like Pakistan and Sri Lanka and China, Venezuela, and specifically Cuba. I've been to Cuba 69 times in the last over 19 years now. When I was asked to go to Cuba my first time, I was actually in Mexico with the team, and the ministry there said, hey, we're going to Cuba in September. We need another woman to speak in our conferences there. Can you come? And I'm like, yeah. And then afterwards, I'm like, wait a minute. I just said yes to go to a communist nation. But God had a setup for me, and I'm so thankful he did. So yeah, I do. I am married. I've been married for 50 years this year, and have two children, great son in love, daughter in love, and six amazing grandkids. And, this is like behind you, it says don't mess with our kids. And for me, it's don't mess with my grandkids, my six grandkids. Wow. They range from 8 years old up to 23 years old. And so, I've been focused. I received Cuba as a nation, an inheritance, in March 2006. And I wasn't asking for the nation of Cuba, but God wanted to give it to me. And I took it, put it in my heart. And now it's history. All these years later, I help oversee about 300 churches on our network in Cuba. And so, when you and my path crossed in April, I knew that with this assignment that God had given you, I thought then, I'm like, Jenny's got her million women and I got my million people, or really 11 million people in Cuba. You do your thing, I'll do my thing for the kingdom, and we're just going to move forward. And then God kind of arrested me and said, no, I gotta get your attention over here. Just because of what I've witnessed. I've been in Cuba up to a month at a time, staying there, traveling all across the island, praying, doing prayer, the pray, fast, and stand. I've done that all across the nation of Cuba over the years. And so, there is a burden in my heart, Jenny, I think. And I told you, standing at H Rock Church in August when we were back there for a time, that I look through lenses most Americans, most of the church, most believers do not look through. I'm looking through lenses that don't think this can't happen in America. And I really believe, Jenny, that 2024 will determine if America will stay a nation of freedom or it will become a nation in bondage. Wow. And I even talk to people quite often. I'm talking about ministers and strong believers, been serving God for years. And they're like, oh, I don't get involved in politics. I don't watch the news. I'm like, I had somebody the other day tell me, well, yeah, this freedom tour thing you're doing in Iowa, I know it's a political thing. I said, no, it's not. It's a spiritual thing. This is not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing.
Yeah. Wow. 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 I know that you have a question. I have so many questions. Yeah. But what do you want to ask, Shauna?
Well, I'm just thinking about how sometimes people label our ministry as that we're Christian nationalists, which is just like crazy. And I think that what people think of when they think of that term, which I don't even know exactly what that means, but it's like that we somehow elevate Americans to be better than other people, which is couldn't be further from the truth. But I want to know why, knowing what you know about Cuba and other countries and other parts of the world, why is it important to them that America turns back to God? Why is it important to the entire world that America turns around?
Oh, I believe because we were built on God, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We're a nation of justice. We're a nation of liberty. We're a nation of freedom. And, I've watched, I know Cubans that, I'm sorry if I get emotional here, it's just dear to my heart. I know Cubans who have gone, left Cuba, especially over the last 2 or 3 years, and almost have given their lives to travel through Central America, come up, trafficked up through Mexico, some of them dying in the desert, some of them women being raped. I mean, just these horrific things that take place. Why? Because they're trying to get to the land of freedom. They're trying to get to a place. I have a spiritual son, Jenny knows him. His name is Josue. And I remember telling when he came to the United States in 2000, September 2014, legally, I'm going to add it, legally, okay? And I remember him saying, he calls me mom. He said, mom, you know, people look at America as the land of the brave and the free, but it costs you to live in America. It costs you to live in America. And so a lot of people come here, think it's going to be like just easy breezy, but we know you've got to work here. You've got to do things. So I think, Shauna, it's just that people want what we have. They want what we have. They want a freedom. They want to know God because we are a nation under God, you know, first and foremost. And they want to have the right to choose what their education is going to be in Cuba. I'll just take Cubans. All right. I could go. I've been to China. I've been to Venezuela. I mean, I've seen this stuff. But in Cuba alone, if you want to be a teacher and they're lacking engineers, then you have to be an engineer. Okay. If you want to be an engineer, but they're lacking doctors, then you have to be a doctor. And so they pretty much in wow. communism, they tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who you can do it with. I remember when I first started going years ago, and if I would stay in one of our, I call them our family there, if I stayed in one of their homes and they did not get permission from the government, they would be charged $1,000 fine for me just staying in their home for a couple of nights. Now for them, $1,000 fine would be like the government coming to you ladies and saying $100,000 fine. You know, when somebody was making $15 a month, I've had people go with me to Cuba. Like I have a spiritual son who's one of the top brain surgeons, neurosurgeons in Cuba. And he made $25 a month doing brain surgery for the government. And people would go, how does that work? How do you make the average person $15 a month? I'm like, do not figure it out. I have a lot of people know this guy that went to Cuba with us a year ago, December. By the end of the trip, he came to me. He's all over the world. He goes into crisis situations all over the world. And he went to Cuba with us. And he came to me and then he said, Leanne, I'm mad, but I'm excited. I said, Sean, don't try to figure this out. Do not try to figure this out. I've been trying to figure it out for, at that time, 18 years. And if you try to figure out what this looks like, you'll go crazy. Like, how can somebody make $15 a month and survive and raise a family of two or three?
Right.
I mean, how do you do that? You know?
So here's a question. What are you seeing happening in America that maybe most of us are overlooking? Like, oh yeah, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, we can go along with that. It's fine. I mean, I don't want to put up a fight. I mean, it's not worth losing my peace over. I don't want to make a fuss. Like, are you seeing some things that we're overlooking that you're saying, hold on. That is one inch closer to communism, to socialism. Like, can you share just what you've been noticing here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and Jenny, I think you know that I pastored for several years between Atlanta and Ohio. And one of the things that I saw is that after being a missionary for many, many years, then becoming a pastor, is that I see we separated the pulpit from the city council chambers. You know, we've separated, you know, the church from government. And I do believe that government should not be telling the church what to do, but we went way too far. We swung the pendulum all the rest of the way. Like, we're really going to divide here. We've separated the pulpit from the CEO desk. I mean, we can say the pulpit from the education, you know, the principal's office. I mean, we just separated this out. And so we've left ourselves with this huge gap and we're trying to figure out how we fill it now. How do we fill this and take care of it? And we're kind of scrambling. And I think that for pastors, they've been so focused on, you know, building their congregation that they've not impacted their community and their cities. I can just say when I got to the church in August 2014, a pastor in Ohio, I lived in Atlanta. I loved Atlanta. I was not looking to move to Ohio at all, but it was an assignment from God for 5.5 years to go in and shift a culture. And I function as an apostle. So to go in and apostles go in there and shift cultures and shift things around. And I remember that, you know, it was just the church was just so secluded. Like, it's like the city tolerated us. They did not celebrate us. And it was just not. And thankfully, God gave me the grace to go in there and shift everything around where today that we're celebrating the community there now. And so the bottom line of that is that we've just separated these things out. And now we've got a problem where people, they, you know, Jenny, I think I've told you and I've shared this before in part of Tony Perkins' Watchmen on the Wall. And in 2016, I was at a conference up in Washington, D.C. with 500 pastors and ministry leaders. And Tony Perkins was hosting this event. watchman on the wall, like, wake up, pastors, wake up. And here I am in 2016, right before the elections in November 2016. And I can remember there was someone that spoke on Friday night, and I was, the event was in the same hotel we were staying in. And they were showing these slides, and they were talking then in 2016 about somebody saying that, oh, you know what? I identify as a parrot. I'm not really a human being. I'm a parrot. And then there was another slide where it was a man. He was in his 50s, had three children. And he said, you know, I'm really a little boy. He wound up divorcing his mom, his wife, and another couple adopted him as their little boy. And there was just one thing after the other that they were sharing about this. I went after that session, I went up to my hotel room, stood in the shower and cried. And I'm like, God, what is happening here? What is going on then? And even then, and that's when I came home, Jenny, and I've talked to you about this. And I came home, and that Sunday I preached the message at our church in Newark, Ohio. And I said, do not think it can't happen in America. And I started showing the pictures of Venezuela right now it's Maduro. He's a bus driver, is the president of Venezuela. A bus driver is the president of Venezuela. But before him, I can't remember what his name is right now. He died of cancer. But you know what it was like before him, okay? Venezuela was the richest nation in South America before Chavez. Before Chavez. And then here comes this communist guy in, and he just turns everything around. Cuba. And before Fidel came in the 50s, man, it's where everybody wanted to go on holiday. It was an incredible, beautiful place. Wow. And I show pictures before and after. And I can show many nations like Nicaragua. I mean, these different nations. Socialism and communism, especially communists, will destroy a nation. Again, you're going to do what we tell you to do. And if you don't, there's consequences for it. And that's what I see. I shared this in Houston 3-4 weeks ago. When the government comes in and says, okay, you can't have gas stoves now. That's happening. That's what they're trying to do. Like, you can't have gas stoves in your house in America. Like, excuse me? Okay, and we're going to regulate your refrigerators and your air conditions. Like, you're going to do what now? And you have to buy this, or you have to buy that, and you can't have this. That's when the government, the people start serving the government, and the government's not serving the people. And the kingdom of God versus socialism, that's what I preached on that Sunday in October of 2016. Don't think it can't happen in America, the kingdom of God versus socialism. The kingdom of God is where the government serves the people. Socialism, communism is where the people serve the government. And there's something wrong with that picture.
Wow. Well, one of the things that we heard during COVID with the masks, especially locally here, pastors, and it was probably all over, was the scripture in Romans, and I can't remember the exact reference, which is that we are supposed to obey all authority, government officials, and that kind of thing. And, you know, that single scripture right there was used to say, hey, you know, we need to be law-abiding citizens here in the sight of God. And that's our Christian duty to follow that. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that as soon as our government officials are not obeying God, like the government sits on Jesus's shoulders, right? And the government and the order comes from God down. And so when our government authorities are put in place to protect us and to put things in order, then yes, you know, let's come under their authority. It's like parenting. The Bible says to honor your father and mother, to obey your parents. Well, the second you have, you know how many women we have ministered to that were sexually abused by their fathers? Were sexually abused by the person who was in charge of them, their uncle, their aunt. And that's like us saying, yeah, sweetheart, you're just going to have to do that because the Bible says that you are to honor and obey. See, as soon as the authority is breaking away from God's way, his kingdom, right, is the way that God does things, is the kingdom of God, the way that God does things. As soon as authority breaks away from that, we don't have to follow ungodly leadership.
Right.
So that is one of the major things that I've seen happen to or come out of the mouths of pastors is, well, I don't know. We have to obey our authority. So I don't know what thoughts you have about that, but it's like a major, major deception is happening here. And, you know, there's been so much reference to Nazi Germany and how the church was responding to these things. And wasn't it like 6 months or something? It was like the government came in, they asked them to shut down their businesses, not asked them, they told them, shut down their businesses, whatever. And it was quick. Within 6 months, everything was turned around. So that's crazy. Now, can you describe maybe a few more things? Because I'm sitting here thinking, none of us, okay, in America, it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? You can't even ask that question. You can't even ask a child that question in a communist country, because what you want to be when you grow up,
it's not up to you.
It's not up to you. Forget it. The government's going to tell you what you're going to be and what you're going to do. And that's sad, because you could be a really bad surgeon if that's not how you're wired. Oh my goodness. That's a scary thought right there. But what are some other things, Leanne, that we don't even think as, I don't think having a gas stove is freedom, because I'm in a free country. So I haven't even considered my freedoms. You're kind of blowing my mind with that, because I haven't even heard you talk about that yet. But what are some other things in Cuba that you've seen that we don't even consider a freedom in our country?
Yeah. Let me kind of go back real quick and I'll come back to that. But, you know, the whole thing about, you know, you've got to, you know, serve the government or whatever the scripture you're talking about in Romans, I can't remember how you put it, but it also says that I got to serve God rather than man. And I think there's a line, okay? This is the line that I see. And when people start going below the line, whether it's your boss, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a government, whatever, and they're asking you to do stuff illegal, immoral, unethical, or unscriptural, then to me, that draws the line. And then that's when it's like, no. This is like, I got to serve God rather than man. You know, whether that, whatever that means, you know, and being righteous, then we have to do that. And so I think we're falling so far below the line. It's like, it's time to say, no. Don't mess with our kids. Don't mess with our grandkids. I've got to serve God rather than man.
Okay. And what was that list again? Unscriptural, immoral, unethical.
Illegal, immoral, unethical, unscriptural, and unethical. Okay. So that's how I am. Like if I'm working with somebody, I'm going to honor them. I am going to serve them with all my heart. But if they begin to ask me to do something illegal, they ask me to do something immoral, unethical, unscriptural, then that's where I draw the line. I'm saying, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And in my young 68 years, I've been tested a couple of times with that. Okay. Sure. And you know, it's happened. And then I've had to draw that line and go, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, because you're asking me to do something illegal. And I just can't do that in the workplace here. I can't do it anywhere. I don't care where it's at. But I was being asked to do something years ago in Texas where I worked that was illegal. And we have to just make that line. But, you know, going back to Cuba, you know, like one of the things is growing up in that when one of the youth hit a certain age, I think it was when they got towards high school, what they would call, then they were sent off to another place to go to school. They were taken from their parents and they have to go off somewhere. And for like, they might see their parents once every 2 or 3 months and go somewhere else for schooling. All right. Then when they hit military age, all boys had to go in the military, whether they wanted to or not. It's just what you had to do. And so there's just these things that just happen over and over and over again, where it's like, again, communism is when you're told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who you can do it with. And so let me just say this, that there's in Cuba, there's a watchdog in every block. They watch everything you're doing. I mean, I've been followed in the years in Cuba. I've had spies in my services. Some of them gotten saved over the years, thankfully. But they're watching. I remember one time I had arrived there in some particular area and I was walking down the street and I was by myself. I had somebody else with me, but I had left them and I was going for a little walk. And I feel safe in Cuba. Let me just say that. I love Cuba. I honor Cuba. I really do. I want the best for Cuba. I love this nation. I would give my life for Cuba. I really would. And you know that story, Jenny. But I'm walking down the street and I know there's a motorcycle following me. And so I kind of walked around and I went down by a particular area where the ocean was. And I walked down, I stood on the corner and this motorcycle stopped about, I don't know, maybe 100 feet from me. And he pulled over by the curb and took his helmet off and just watched me. And I knew I was being followed. You know, and so there's been times in Cuba, not over the last few years. I mean, things are changing in Cuba. It's almost, can I just tell you, it's almost like Cuba and the United States are getting ready to flip. Like even recently, the government's coming to us and going, asking the church, how can we work together? You know, I mean, that's kind of stuff. I could spend just an hour telling you what's happening in Cuba, where a reformation is taking place in Cuba. The kingdom of God's coming and a reformation is taking place there. And Jenny, you heard me, I think, say in Houston, you know, that a revival is when I love, this is what Lance Wilnau says, and I really believe it. A revival is when one person gets right with God. A reformation is when a nation gets right with God.
Come on.
And that's what we need in America. Mm-hmm. We need a reformation. The revivals that we've had in America, whether it's Brownsville, whether it's Azusa, whether it is, you know, a Lakeland or whatever, they were short-lived. Now, thankfully, a lot of people got saved during those things, but they died. And God is not a God that dies. And so I believe Reformation is when God's going to come and put his big foot down and just say, okay, enough's enough. We're going to redo everything here because this is not, just to revive something a little bit, you know, is not really working. So we're just going to have to reform everything. So yeah, I've watched things in Cuba over the years. Like when I first started going almost 20 years ago, I couldn't bring a Bible in. I mean, everything was under the radar. Everything was under the radar. I didn't want people to know I was from America, much less I was a Christian. Now America is celebrated in Cuba. They're like, hey, America. Yeah, there's flags, American flags all over the place, you know, where before it was like, you didn't want to do it. So it's just, again, coming down to that point. And I see it's a spirit. It is a spirit. That's and right. I see that spirit infiltrating America, trying to infiltrate America. Yeah. But the whole thing is most, I'm just going to use the believers and pastors. Their heads are in the sand. They have no idea what's at our front door, creeping at our front door. They have no idea. They're like, they're playing with it. And I'm like, you do not understand. It's like a serpent. Okay. And you pick it up by the tail and you don't do that. You don't do that with a serpent. You pick it up by the back of the neck right here. Okay. But they're picking this thing up and it's right there. And I tell you what, it's going to turn around and bite us if we do not humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. He will not heal our land. But I believe in that we are doing this. And you're such a huge part of that, Jenny.
Yeah, come on.
Leanne, I'm thinking about something you shared really briefly about the cost of a hamburger. Do you remember mentioning that? Because I'm thinking about the people who think that socialism is, it's like, okay, maybe I'd be willing to trade some of my freedoms because I want free healthcare and I want free this and free that. And I feel like that would be easier. Life would be easier if I had this and I had that. And it's like, okay, hold on a second. What you don't realize is this is what's going to happen. And I think that story of how much a hamburger costs is an example of what happens when socialism takes over.
Yeah. It was April of 2014 and I had a team in Venezuela and Maduro, the new president, had just come in. And so things were going south really, really quick in Venezuela. That's how fast this stuff can happen. And our team was, we had eight of us. We'd been in Venezuela ministering for a week and we got to the airport, got through customs or immigration, whatever you want to call it, security. And we were hungry for something other than beans and rice. We're like, man, so we saw a food court before we went to our gate and we're like, oh, there's a Burger King. Let's go get a burger. Let's go get a Whopper meal. And we walked up and the Whopper meal was $45. And we're like, what? $45. Do you know that in 2018, Venezuela had 130% inflation rate. 130% inflation rate in 2018. Now, that was $45 then. You just multiply it. That was in 2014. So fast forward 4 years. And can you only imagine, you know, what's happened? And I was sharing too that as I was preparing when I spoke a few weeks ago, that I was in Sri Lanka in 2017, and they're driving me around in Colombo, Sri Lanka. And the guy, spiritual son that's driving me around says, oh yeah, China just bought the port of Sri Lanka. And I'm like, oh, how's that working out for you guys? And oh no, it's a good thing. They're going to help us get out of debt and everything. Well, no, now Sri Lanka owes like $7.6 billion to China.
Oh no.
They got bought. Okay. But I went a step further. And I researched just 3 or 4 weeks ago, how much are we indebted to the United States, America? How much is the United States indebted to China? $859 billion. Who owns America? $859 billion is what America owes China.
Wow. Crazy. So we're in an election year. And you know, I don't think anybody listening to this podcast can think, oh, it's cool. We're out of the COVID woods. We're just going to, you know, coast on through Easy Street on 2024. I believe that there could be some offers to comply and some strong, like, hey, you need to do this. You guys are going to have to do this because of this, you know, pandemic or whatever. You know, the World Health Organization is talking about disease X now. They've written up about contagion, you know, these things here. So Leanne, why don't you tell us this? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to, you need to put this mask on your face, you need to blah, 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 blah. Like, what is the do not comply? What does that look like for you personally?
Again, to me, if it goes below the line, and I know a mask is not below the line or above the line or whatever, but it's the spirit that's behind it. You know, I think hopefully America woke up to the woke, you know, going on, that we've woken up, most of us. I mean, I just looked last night at what, you know, I hope this is okay to say this, but 86 or 87% of America is saying that Biden is just, they won't vote for him. They will not vote for him. That came out last night, survey or whatever you want to call it. And that wasn't a conservative channel that brought that out, that did that survey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was a non-conservative channel that did that. And so, you know, I know for me, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's just it. Can I just tell you something, Jenny? When we were working with a church in Conroe, Texas, north of Houston, in the late 80s, we'd just come out of youth with a mission off the mission field in Central America and Mexico. My kids were raised during the Civil War in Central America. They saw the bombs go off, windows rattle, being hit the dust in the markets with machine gun fire. We've been held up in the deserts of Mexico at gunpoint. I mean, all this stuff. But we're in Conroe, Texas in the late 80s, and our pastor walks into the church office one day. We were working for the church, and he says, Leanne, I had a dream about you and Ray last night. I said, what's that, Ronnie? And he said, I dreamed that you guys were smuggling Bibles from the Mexico into the United States.
Oh boy.
That was about 1989, something like that. And we were smuggling Bibles from Mexico into the United States. And Jenny, I've shared that when I was in China in 2004, and at the end of the trip, there was a group of us that got to meet with the top five underground leaders of the church in China. We had a private dinner. It was a secluded area. And we were able to add, they told us their stories. All of them had been tortured in prison and this and that. And at the end, they said that we could ask questions. And one of the guys in our group, he asked the question. He said, what do you think of America? And the oldest one that had been in prison more than any of the others and tortured, he says, I want to say this. We are first and foremost thankful to America because they sent the missionaries years ago to us. And we would not have what we have today if those missionaries from America would not have come. And then he said this, and it's never, ever left me. He said, and when America comes under persecution, not if, but when America comes under persecution, we will be sending missionaries to America.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Well, this has been so good. And I want to give you the opportunity, Leanne, to share any other thoughts that you have, because you have so much inside of you. And then if you would just close us in prayer, that would be incredible.
I just, you know, I'm not into tattoos, so I just want people to know I don't have tattoos all over my body. But about a year ago, I went and got a tattoo on my wrist right here. Let me see if I can get it up there. And it is Matthew 6:33 with a crown. And that's my life verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom. And we forget the second part and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Most people are like, I'm going to seek his kingdom and he's going to take care of me. No, we got to do what's right. Okay. So seek first the kingdom. And see, I always see this. Because let me just say this. If America doesn't turn around, I know I'll always have this with me. If I can get it, this will always be with me. If I'm not allowed a Bible, I'll always have that. I have his word in my heart. Okay. We know that, but I'll always have this on my wrist, and I'll always, no matter what I'm going through, I can look at it and go, Leanne, just seek his face, make him your priority. And that's what I do every day. Make him my priority, seek his face. And he says, and his righteousness, do what I'm telling you to do, follow what I'm leading you to do. And then I'll take care of everything. You won't have to worry about anything. And that may be if there's pain. I mean, it doesn't keep us void of pain, you know, but he'll take care of that even in my life. And so I think, Shauna, it's just to wake up America, to wake up. Like, I feel like my part in this is to sound the alarm of like, guys, do not think it can't happen here. It happened in Venezuela. Nobody ever would have thought. It happened in Cuba. Nobody would have ever thought it would happen there. It's happened in Venezuela. I mean, in Nicaragua, when the Sandinistas came in and tried to overthrow in the early 80s, late 70s and early 80s. They did not get El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras, but they did get Nicaragua. Okay. So I think we're just asleep, and it's basically sounding the alarm. And Jenny, you have so much to do with this, with Lou and others, to sound the alarm. Church, America, but church, wake up. Do you know there's 400,000 churches in America? Well, they're kind of going down, and every single Sunday, 160 close their doors. of the 400,000. That should tell you something right there. Something's not right.
Yeah, I think that maybe we have thought that we're supposed to have a really good church service rather than looking at shepherding the people in a culture. We're in a culture war. We are up against some of the most evil, craziest things to rip the family unit apart. And as pastors and leaders, we have a duty and a responsibility to lead the sheep through this battle and through this war as victorious, you know, and King Jesus is victorious, but we do it with him. We don't just huddle up in a, you know, in a church somewhere and, you know, let the world just try to figure it out. We are the solution. We are the largest, you know, the church is the largest army in the world. And God is expecting us to be an army and not an audience. So this has been absolutely incredible. If you would pray, that would be amazing.
Father, I don't know what to say except, God, wake us up. I feel like through COVID, you tried to wake us up. I really feel like, Father, you pulled the plug, God, on the church in America. You pulled on business, Father God, on education, Father, on government, God. You pulled the plug. And God, from your perspective, the way you see things, you're like, this isn't the way my church looks in heaven. This isn't the way government looks in heaven. This isn't the way education looks in heaven and business, et cetera, and entertainment or whatever. None of this looks right from my viewpoint. And God, you gave us a warning, I believe, then and pulled the plug, Father God. Yeah, there were other people that were trying to bring this you know, pandemic on. But God, you allowed it to wake us up, Father. But I still think some of us woke up, but God, there's still some of us that are slumbering and sleeping. And Father, I just hope, God, that you do not have to do something drastic to get America's attention. Father, I am crying out, God, with others, God, that are on their face, on their knees, God, Father, asking you mercy, 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 mercy. But God, I also ask that you would just kind of like, I don't know, God, if you just have to dump your people or whatever to wake them up, God, without having to just shake them so violently to wake us up. And so, Father, I do pray for Jenny and Lou and all the ones, God, that are leading this movement, Father, for April 13th and then October 12th in DC. God, I just ask for grace, God, upon them, Father, God, your goodness and your kindness, Father, and a baptism of wisdom, Father, on them to know what to do, what not to do, when to move, not to move, Father. And God, that they would be right in step with, God, what you are doing. And God, then the church, the body of Christ in America will follow right along, Father. And so, God, I thank you at the end of the day, God, you're still a good dad. No matter what, God, you are a good dad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This has been absolutely amazing having you on here, Leanne. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for surrendering a whole new level, speaking out for America and speaking out. Really, the story of Cuba has been very, very inspiring. And I know that you're risking a lot doing that publicly. And so I just honor you for that. Thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome. Well, that has been an incredible, incredible conversation. You know, Sean, I just thought about how at the time of this recording, the Letter to the American Church, the documentary by Eric Metaxas, has been released. It was released on February 8th. And I would just say to anybody listening to this podcast today, go ahead and look that up. Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. And it's a documentary and showing really the, you know, historically what happened when the church didn't wake up and the severe consequences of that in Nazi Germany. And so we're in a place right now where I believe that we still have a fighting chance to turn this around. And that's why we're doing this podcast. Yeah. It's not too late. We're not too far gone. Let's not get to that place where we can't turn this over in just a few years, but I believe that we can. Any last minute thoughts, Shauna, from you?
Well, just what hit my head just now when you said that was just like a marriage that is struggling. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and their husband is unwilling to do counseling, listen to a podcast, read a book, like do anything. And that leaves you in such a state of hopelessness. And is this thing going to work out? Well, that's like America right now. It's like, if we are willing to do something if we are willing
before,
something we haven't done before, if we're willing to stand, if we're willing to pray, if we're willing to fast, if we're willing to use our voices, this can be saved. And we are still at a place where it can be if we're willing to do something.
Yeah.
And so I just think that's where we're at. And it is very hopeful. We are in a hopeful position still.
Wow.
But that can switch quickly if we decide that we're going to be apathetic and do nothing.
Well, I'll leave you with this thought. You know, first and foremost, we love people. And when we talk about the LGBTQ community, we actually believe that that community is going to have a massive encounter with God and lead in revival. With that being said, we have to look at how did we go from 1 in 100 people identifying as gay or lesbian or whatever to 1 in 3 Gen Z right now? How did that happen? Well, it's very simple. There's a concept called take what you believe in your private space and put it in the public space. And when the LGBTQ community decided to go public with what they believe, what they consider their truth to be, and the pride parades take over the month of June, go out into the public square, go to the capitals, that happened. Mm-hmm. There was a reformation of mm-hmm. culture that happened. And yeah. so that's why it spread so fast, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a spirit behind this in order to still kill and destroy the identity of these people, because we don't believe that you can be in your God-given destiny apart from how God made you. You know, how God made you is it, whether we agree with it or not. That's just it. But I just want the church to consider this. What would happen if we stay comfortable with our gospel and our truth and what we believe about Jesus, and we only keep ministering to each other in our church walls, right, and our Bible studies, which we have to do because that's where we get strengthened. But if we don't go public with what right. we're talking about privately, I think we're in trouble. And that's right. why we're saying, hey, let's get these prayer hubs on the ground. That's great. And then as a prayer hub, we become an action hub, and we go to the Capitol and we stand in these public squares. We go to our school boards. We show up in the public space and we do it with love. The Bible says do everything in love, and we're going to do it in love, but we're going to go out with the truth that God has given us, the truth that we say that we'll lay our life down for, and we're going to put it out in the public square. And that's why I have hope, Shauna, because there's a remnant of people that are willing to take what they believe in private, the Bible, and take it out into the public. And we want that to be every person who is listening or watching today. It's just too easy to mark off your calendar and go to your Capitol and be out there on April 13th. Just go. It's a very short time, but I want you to take your family. I want you to, you know, some of you might even have to reserve a van or a bus, you know, make a thing out of it, right? Like get people in your church gathered up. Everybody put $50 on the table for the, you know, seat on the bus, whatever you got to do, but make it something. Like get in your car, caravan with your neighbor, whatever you have to do, get to your state capitol, and let's see how God will honor those people who bring what we believe inwardly into the public square. God is, he's going to meet us there. And I really believe that God's going to do amazing things for all of us. So thank you so much for being with us today. This has been another amazing episode of Don't Mess With Our Kids, and we'll see you guys next time.